We're going to turn in our Bibles today in Psalms chapter 1, verse 21. Thank you for the praise team and the musicians for their hard work. And it's good to see Brother Carlos on the bass again. Amen. And thank the Lord for that. That's not easy. And I appreciate Brother Lindsay's help with that. But Brother Carlos has put a lot of time and effort to be able to play. And I appreciate that. And it does not undermine the rest of the musicians. But to learn a new instrument and play it in church, it's not easy. Especially when you have a musician like Brother Lindsay here watching every move. And thank the Lord for the Lindsay family. Amen. Appreciate them. Love them. Come on, let's appreciate Brother and Sister Lindsay. And he'll be with us one more time in September, and then he won't be with us again until November. So love their family. If you have it, would you say amen? All right, we'll wait. It's Psalm 121 and 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. And I preach with a lot of scripture. And this morning I've got some things that the Lord has placed on my heart that I want to share with you and believe that the Lord would help us. Psalm 121 and 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Sister Verena, if you would help with AV, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. It means that word move means to slip and slide or to stagger or to be shaken. So he's not going to let you slip and slide, stagger, but he's going to keep you. So he's not asleep. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Somebody say, the Lord's my keeper. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee. I like that. He will preserve thee from all evil. Not just a little evil, but all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. There's a lot of promises in this Bible verse right here. And I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. Let us lift our voices unto the Lord right now. With a loud voice. Would you pray with a loud voice? Can we do that? It's your first time here. You've been here before I got here. Would you just pray with a loud voice? That God help us to be doers and hearers of the word. God, you're our help, Lord. Always have been. God, your word is anointed this morning, God. Your vessel today, God, is prepared, God. Your people have come. Help there be an alignment, God, with you, God. Help us, God, to be doers and hearers, God. Help our spirits and hearts to be open, God. Help us to lay aside, God, any distraction, God, any care, God. Help us not to be a distraction to somebody else, God, but help us, Lord, as we lift our voice and our hands to you, God. Help us, God, to have clean hands, God. Help us to have a pure heart, God. Help us today, God, to put aside any malice and evil, God, and help us, Lord, to be open and honest and transparent with us about you and you about us, oh God. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Help to give or provide what is necessary to accomplish a task or satisfy a need. Help to contribute strength or means to render assistance, to cooperate effectively with. Help is aid. Help to make easier or less difficult. Help to save or to rescue. The psalmist we read is part of what a compilation or what we would refer to as one of the pilgrim psalms. Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 are called songs of ascent. There were psalms or songs sung by those who sojourned or ascended to the temple for the annual festivities. The scripture tells us in Psalm 120 and 1, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. The Lord hears us when we cry and we're in distress. And this is a psalm of the travelers. that would ascend into the place of worship, the travelers that would come, that would gather from wherever they were, and they would sojourn to the place of worship. They were going to church. They it took a journey to get to the place of worship. It took a journey to get to Jerusalem. It took a journey to get to the place of where the temple was at. There's something about a psalm. There's something about a song. There's something also about having an expectation about coming and getting to the house of the Lord. It's where the people of God would gather together in unity to worship the Lord. Pastor has been in a deep study in the book of Psalms, and so you'll notice that there's a lot of Psalms reference in my scripture study or in my preaching this morning, because the Lord has been speaking to me and using Psalms to help me be a better pastor, to help me be a better Christian, but to help me to become a better worshiper. The scripture tells us in Psalms 133:1, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." And then you'll notice that explanation mark there. And it is something with emphasis, that it's a good thing that we would gather together at the place of worship in unified effort and begin to worship the Lord together. In fact, if you would go on to read that verse a little bit further, we're not going to go on and read it, but it would talk about how it likened unto the oil of anointing that began to fall from the top of Aaron's head down through his beard, and how it's an anointed thing. It's a blessed thing. And how when we begin to gather together at the place of worship and actually worship the Creator instead of worshiping the creation of things that sometimes we have a mindset of worshiping or getting involved in throughout the work, but we stop everything that's taking place and we come to the place of worship and we worship the Lord. It's the place where the church becomes the place where the rich and the poor, the big and the old and the small come, and they bring their challenges and they bring their burdens and they bring their questions and they bring the heartache. They bring their joy and they bring their blessing. But it's also the place where you come to the house of worship, where the preaching and the teaching and the Word of God and the music will begin to challenge us, begin to edify us, begin to encourage us, and begin to direct us and begin to rebuke us at times, where we can be loved, we can be healed. The Word of God, the preaching, the teaching of God's Word has the ability to minister to us if we allow it to.
Right.
Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching." That means when we come into the house of God at the place of worship, we ought to be provoking one another unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the place of worship, but also coming together and letting our worship be contagious. Letting our prayers be contagious. Letting our praise be contagious. Letting our attitudes begin to provoke someone into good works. Not being a stumbling block. Not being a hater. Not being a criticizer. Not being condemning. But edifying and encouraging, and say, "You know what, sister? It's so good to see you. I haven't seen you in 2, 3, or 3 weeks. And I've been praying for you. And why don't we just worship the Lord together instead of looking at him and say, 'Where you been? Did you backslide? You got to fill out a new membership form again because you haven't been here in so long.'" That's not provoking unto good works, because it was a battle for them to get back here and begin to worship the Lord again. They had to fight everything out there, and they don't need to be fighting any garbage in this place. They need to come and remember and says, "You know what? I went to the house of worship, the place of healing. I know the scripture says. I know pastor's going to preach. I know I'm going to be convicted. I know I'm going to be edified, but I went down to the church and the Lord helped me. I didn't have any help at home. They fought me getting to church, but I went to church on a Sunday morning and there was my help." My help comes from the Lord. The house of worship is the place we need to be. I said that the church house is where you need to be.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
We need more of it.
Yeah.
We need more of it.
Amen. Amen.
Because the journey is too great for us.
Right.
Yeah. The journey to heaven is a long road. It's a road of endurance. The scripture setting this morning is meant to instill confidence in those that were en route to the place of worship. You see, there was a journey for those that would travel from wherever they had come from to Jerusalem or to the temple for worship. See, we're all on a physical journey, and I pray that we're all on a spiritual journey as well. Both of these journeys take us through many wildernesses, valleys, mountaintops. Everybody is on a journey, but everybody's journey is different. Everybody's got plans and purposes and intentions, but everybody's journey's different. We all came from probably 150 different places this morning as we all gather to this place of worship. And we'll all go into 150 different places after service is over. But God help us if we don't all together meet up again in that place called heaven or in this church house next Sunday morning. The journey that your neighbor set out on this morning is going to take him through a different set of circumstances than what your journey is going to take you. This journey that we're on is anointed. Journey that we're on is God's purpose. It's a season. It's for everybody to be included. It includes everybody that would. But not all is going to make the journey. Come on, somebody. But if we can remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 54 and 4, God is my helper. Getting to the house of God is going to take a fight at times. There's going to be days and weeks or seasons in your life where getting to church is going to be a struggle. It's not because you don't love God and not because you don't respect God, but it's maybe you're just a little irritated or frustrated. Maybe because you do have some real physical complications and getting up in the morning is a battle, but it just seems like Sunday mornings that those covers get really, really heavy and they got you bound to the bed and just say, oh God, thank the Lord for technology. I could just roll over and grab my phone and I could plug into revivaltabernacle.net and I can watch the services online. Can I tell you, can I pastor for a moment? Media and online church services are not a justification for not being in the physical presence of the believers. You could stay home and watch it, but I'm telling you as your pastor, if you can be in the house of God, baby, you need to be in the house of God. You need to be at the place of worship. I'm telling you, what are you going to take? Technology's not always going to be there. What happens if the power goes out? What happens if we have a blackout? But oh God, help us not to have a prayer out or a church out. Oh God, but help us to say, I got to plug into my help, and my help comes from God. I don't need technology to get to heaven. What I need is help from God. I need the preaching. I need the music. I need the edification of the Word of God. I need conviction. I need God's presence. I'm not going to make it by every book. We got psychologists and we got doctors and we got programs, but can I tell you, they're tools, they're resources, they're professionals, but God gives life and God takes life away, and I know where my help comes. My help comes from the Lord. I got to be in His presence, for in His presence is fullness of joy. It ought to be refreshing to know that I'm going to the church house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you have to work through the conflict in your work schedule to get to church. Sometimes you got to work through the distraction of the person sitting beside you or in front of you to be able to pay attention in the church house. Sometimes you got to push through the torment and the decisions that you have for the week to make it through the place of worship. See, everybody's on a journey. Everybody is busy. Just ask them. Tell them you're moving tomorrow. They're busy. But tell them you got a backpack full of $100 bills and you just want to give it away because you got too many. They'll be right there. Can I tell you? That ought to be the attitude we have when we come to the house of the Lord. My cup runneth over. It may be half full. It may be half empty, looking at your perspective. But can I tell you, when you get to the house of God and you get to His presence, He'll make sure that there's plenty and there's enough for you and for everybody here this morning to say, you know what? Your cup's going to run over. You may have come in here not even with a cup, but I'll give you a cup and I'll fill it up and I'll fill it up. And you come back later and I'll fill it up again, because our help comes from the Lord. It's encouraging, it's refreshing to see the worshipers. It's encouraging, it's refreshing to see folks that have had to endure some things to get to the house of worship. I'm encouraged. I want to just talk to the men this morning. All the men say amen.
Amen.
That was a good, manly amen. Do that again. All the men say amen.
Amen.
But I'm encouraged. I have been so encouraged. I've mentioned this to Brother Jurazic, Brother Bonham, a few times. But I just want to compliment the men of this church. That you have been leading this church in pre-service prayer. You have been leading this church in worship. And I salute you. I commend you. It's not about all of you that just gather up at the front, but it is about all of you that gather together to worship and encourage one another. It is encouraging to Pastor Pinero that when I'm walking out of my office, I can hear a roar of thunder of people praying, and I can hear the men. And before, it was kind of some, look, it was like they were having a battle of who can pray the loudest. But now it's a unity of prayer, of harmony. It's a choir of people praying, but it's also a choir of men that are gathering together to worship. I want to challenge the ladies this morning. Where are the ladies that would gather together and pray and worship? You say, well, we're holding everything else together. That is true in a lot of cases. There's a lot of you in Sunday school and greeting and teaching and on the platform. But what about the other folks and the other ladies who say, you know what? God has called me for one thing, and He's called me to be a worshiper, and I'll worship at my chair. I'll worship in the pew. I'll worship at the front. But whatever He's given me, and however, I'm going to worship the Lord, because my help comes from the Lord. It's encouraging to know that folks got car trouble. They couldn't drive their own car to church, but Brother Robert, they found a ride. And they got to church and say, I'll deal with the car after church, but I got to get to church, because I'm only here able to make it on Sunday mornings. And I'm not going to jeopardize the only chance I get to be in the house of God on a Sunday morning. Thank God for Uber, but thank God for people that will call one another and say, you know what? You got a little bit of room in your car for me, because my car won't start. And I don't want to stay home and just watch church online, because I got to be in the presence of the Lord. I got to get my babies to church. They're still in bed, but we'll be ready when you come pick us up. I gotta give it to some of you that get up, and you're not morning people. You're grouchy. We know it. You know it. It's just who you are. But you drink that coffee on the way to church, and you're sitting there and you're giving God the glory. I gotta give it to you. I gotta thank you. But can I tell you, let's not fall back. Let's not get comfortable. Let's push through and say, you know where my help comes from? The Lord. Got to give it to you, those that fight through the confusion of the world. Got to give it to you, those that fight through the shame, those that told you about RT, but they're not here anymore. I got to hand it to you. I got to thank you. I got to salute you. I got to encourage you to say, just keep on. Keep it on. There's going to be a lot of folks that maybe they have taught you Bible studies, and maybe they called you when you missed church. Maybe they invited you to church. Maybe you're a Christian today because of them, but they're gone and they're far removed and they're not living for the Lord anymore. Can I tell you, you got it for yourself. And that's the way that it is. You got to get it for yourself, and you got to keep it for yourself. And you got to understand, as you make your journey to heaven and you make your journey to the house of God, there's going to be some people that fall off, that stop and say, you know what? I'm just a little tired. I don't think I'm going to go. I'm a little weary. I've been traveling a long time. I think I'm just going to kick back for a moment. There's going to be some people that even in your household are going to say, you know what? Honey, why don't you go? But I'm going to stay home. I may go with you on Wednesday. I may go with you on Sunday night, but I'm going to stay home right now. There may be some people that tell you, you know what? Why do you go to church so much? Why do you worship the Lord so much? You know what? I tell you to tell them, because my help comes from the Lord. You're looking for it at the club. You're looking for it in dope. You're looking for it in a illicit relationship. But my help, my strength, my resetting, my conviction, my power, my healing, my deliverance, my way maker is at the place of worship. It's in the presence of the Holy God. My help comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord. My help is the Lord who made heaven and earth. Doesn't mean you're not going to wobble at times. Doesn't mean you're not going to stagger around like a drunk coming out of the bar room because you got problems. Not because you've been drunk, but because you got problems. Let me just stay right there again. Cigarettes and addiction and drugs and alcohol have never fixed anything for anybody. It just costs them money. It gives them a few moments of a good time. And then they wake up and they still got the same problem and the same situation. But neither does being a hypocrite. It is what it is. If you want real change, can't point the finger to nobody but yourself. Can't blame the bottle. You can't blame that person that you live with, right? Can't blame the pastor. Can't blame your bank account. Can't blame the weather. Living around here, you can't blame the weather. Praise God. Whew. I was in the valley way too long, Sister Kendrick. I turned down a lot of preaching in the summertime in the valley. I was busy. But our help comes from the Lord. Help doesn't come from more education. It's a tool. It's a blessing. We need it.
Right.
Accumulating things not going to help you.
No.
It's a tool. It's things. It's stuff.
Yeah.
Think about that. More friends, vacations, time off. Just got to get away. It's a tool. It's a resource. But your help comes from the Lord.
Right.
Break it down. You can't even breathe on your own.
Right.
We have a hard time holding our breath underwater. Some of us are trying to live for God holding our breath. Not working. Can we go 3 days without water? Barely. But by that couple hours into that fourth day, you better get some kind of water in your system. Or you're going to die. Some of us, I'm pastoring. Some of us are gasping in life. You're alive, but you're not living. You're like that goldfish. You know those little goldfish, James, we used to get at the carnival? Throw the little, what is that, a ping pong ball and a little thing, Sister Walker? And you get the goldfish, you walk around all happy. And your parents are like, that fish stick's going to be dead before we get in the car. And what happens? He's flopping around. Can only live so far in a little bag like that. Meant to grow. We are meant to thrive. We are meant to grow. We are meant to have joy. We are meant to get to heaven. We are not, this is not your best life. This is not heaven on earth. This is not the mentality of this is as good as it gets. It's not as good as it gets because there's a place that we're all headed to. Hopefully you baptize. Hopefully you know the Lord. Hopefully you're filled with the Spirit. There's a place that we are all headed where there's no more tears.
Right.
No more sickness. I mean, think about it. No more sickness. No diabetes, no high blood pressure, no cancer. No arthritis, no surgeries. There's none of that. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more sorrow. Can anybody have a little trouble? You know, you got a little trouble. No looking around, but you have a little trouble, right? There's not going to be any trouble. It's going to be joy. Can I tell you, everything you're going through right now, the Lord can help you get through it. If He takes you to it, He'll take you through it. If the Lord is able to create the heavens and the earth, don't you think He could fix whatever it is you're going through in this moment today? Somebody say, my help comes from the Lord. Comes from the Lord. I gotta hurry. I gotta hurry. Somebody say hurry, Pastor. Well, you better tell me to hurry. Or I preach a long time. I like to preach. That's why the scripture says in Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You may have come in here this morning with heaviness in your heart, but you don't have to leave with heaviness in your heart. You don't. It may be heavy in your spirit and mind because life is a journey and life is not easy, especially if you're not living for the Lord. You may have tried to rely on yourself. You may have done good up until this point, but someday, you mark Pastor Pinero's words, someday you will need a preacher. Someday you will need a pastor. Someday you will need the prayer that your mama or your grandma always told you that you need to pray for yourself. Because every knee is going to bow. And every tongue will confess. You can work a little harder to get yourself out of that financial hole and dig yourself out of the relationship that you're in. But are we in a deficit with our walk with God? Are we? Maybe it's the custody of your ex that's weighing you down and situation that you're dealing with. The conflict in your marriage has spun you into a mindset of depression and mourning. Maybe you feel like the person that's walking in the dark. Come to tell you today that your help comes from the Lord. That's where your help comes from. He's sent your pastor this morning to tell you that help is on the way.
Amen.
The reason I can tell you that is because I know what I'm preaching.
Yeah.
And I know that if we would receive this, that your problem when you get home may still be there, but your help is there with you.
Yeah.
You may have to lift it up with him, but his arms are going to come around you and help you lift it up. You may still take a little while to pay that debt. Your wife may have served you those divorce papers. Your boss may have told you that the contract is up. Your kids may have told you that I don't want to live for the Lord. You may have spun out again and you've gone through rehab through rehab. But can I tell you, those are tools. Those are resources. Those are people. Those are places and those are things. We're talking this morning about a God that creates everything and all those things. And has got all the answers for everybody in the world. But he's looking for us to say, you know what? I look up towards the hills for whence cometh my help. I look up for my redemption. Draweth nigh. I fix my eyes on Jesus for whence cometh my help. I'm looking at the author and the finisher of my faith. He started a good work in me and he's going to complete it. He's going to ensure that I'm the new creation. If anybody be in Christ, they are a new creation. He's still working on us. Psalmist 118:8 said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Anybody ever make the comment this morning or know somebody that made the comment and says, I just can't help them? Anybody? I'm the only one that's being honest this morning. I just can't help him. I don't know what to do, Sister Kendrick. I just can't help him. Make a phone call and say, I need some help here.
Yeah.
Because I'm just, you know, I just don't know. Just don't know what to do. Anybody ever feel that way? I just need some help here.
Amen.
He'll help you.
Yeah.
He's your help.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Everything in this book will help you. He's your help this morning.
Yes, he is.
It's the people that sojourn. They went to the place of worship. They had to climb rocks and hills and rugged terrain, weariness, the sun scorching on them. And just think about this. If you had to walk to church from where you live right now for the rest of your life, that was it. Just think about that. Let's be real this morning. I know we're all blessed. Some of you got two cars and a motorcycle, right? You're the only one that lives in your house. I'm not making fun. Let's just be real. Let's just break it down, right? Let's just break it down. What if you never had your car again for the rest of your life? Somebody say, I'm spoiled. I like to say we're blessed. Anybody, any blessed people in the house? But let's break it down, Mr. Coronado. Let's just have some critical thinking here. Let's be real this morning. Would you still come to church? Well, I'm going to hit you right here in the face. Some of you have 2 and 3 cars and you don't come to church now. Let's be real. Right? I'm not mad. I'm just preaching. I'm pastoring this morning. Because our help comes from the Lord. Come on, somebody. I know you can't be here every Sunday. I get that. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just trying to break it down. We've got so much stuff that we've been blessed with. But is it really a blessing or is it holding us back? I want to make sure I know. I recognize, baby, my help comes from the Lord. This is a blessing. Take it or leave it. But I'm going to serve God. No matter what, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to give of my life. He's all that I have. And without Him, I have nothing. And I got to remember, my help comes from the Lord. Comes from the Lord. Sometimes getting here is going to be a sacrifice. I get that. I get that. I love you folks. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you this morning. But I have to be in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
I want to be in the presence of the Lord. I need to be in the presence of the Lord. I need to hear the message from the man of God. I need to get to the altar and pray and be a doer of the word. My help comes from the Lord. I want to be like the psalmist this morning that says in Psalms 84 and 10. Get this morning. This is so convicting. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. That means if all it takes is that I'm a greeter at the front door and I don't get to be actually in here, but everything of my worship is what I hear by standing here and greeting people and say, welcome to Revival Tabernacle. We're glad you're here. Fill out this form. Here's the brochure. The bathrooms are over there. We got Sunday school for the kids. That means it's as if all my interaction was, is that's all it took. And all I was when I got to the house of God, the psalmist is saying, that's better than 1,000 elsewhere. It's to know that I'm a doorkeeper in the presence of the Lord. Let me talk to the ushers and the greeters this morning. That is not a nuisance. That is a blessing. It is a help. It's one of the most important parts of ministry of this church. You are part of the first impressions of the church. But oh God, help us. If we become selfish with our walk with God, where it's all about me and mine and what I get. But He tells us in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Am I being a disciple maker? Am I a disciple? I got to remember, my help comes from the Lord. It's from Him. He's not going to suffer my foot to be moved. He keepeth Israel. He doesn't slumber or sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. He's the keeper. He keeps us. He keeps us. So much that we're all facing outside the church. We need to ensure that we're helping and supporting one another when we get here.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
We got to help and support one another while we're here. We're a community of believers. Okay. It doesn't say the first church of Durazics or Panero or Bonham out there.
No.
It says Revival Tabernacle Church.
Right.
The church is the people.
Right.
Somebody say, I'm a person. And people are pitiful. But we're all people. Somebody say, I'm a person. People make mistakes. And I'm a person. Somebody say, people. Somebody say, people. I'm a people. Somebody say, I'm a person. And I'm not perfect. But God's perfect. Can I tell you, we serve a perfect God. I'm gonna probably offend somebody this morning or today before the day's up. Can I tell you? Then pray for me and say, you know what, Pastor? I'm gonna pray for you to God. I'm not gonna talk about you. I'm gonna pray to the one that can tell you how you can be a better preacher, how you can smile more, how you can plan better, how you cannot micromanage. I'm gonna pray to the one this morning that can help you remember things. I'm gonna pray this morning. I'm not gonna hurt my neighbor. I'm not gonna talk about them. I'm not gonna give them the stink eye. I'm going to pray for them because I know that their help comes from the Lord just as my help comes from God. He's our keeper. That means He's our guard. He protects us. He puts a hedge around us. Psalms 30 and 10 says, be thou my helper. He puts a hedge around His people. He protects His kids. The keeper guards what's been entrusted to him. He is guarding His people. That's what He does. Psalm 72 and 12 says, for He shall deliver the needy when He crieth. The poor also, and notice this, and he that hath no helper. The journey's going to be uncertain. I know we got plans for tomorrow, but those plans can change before you even get out of this church this afternoon. The night may be dark and lonely, but the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
I know we want Sunday morning service to last forever. I know that. There are times we feel like, wow, it's just such a glorious touch of the Lord. You know, we could take that glorious touch with the Lord with us when we leave this place.
Yeah.
There's going to be days where we feel that we can put all the fires of hell out with the water gun. And then there's going to be days you say, wow, God Himself is going to have His hands full with what I'm going through.
Yeah.
Really? He's the creator of all things. He broke the mold when He created some of us. Nothing too hard for Him. Might be an uphill battle. It may be a downhill battle for some of you right now. Better recognize your help comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 23 and 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Somebody needs to recognize this morning that He's with you.
Yeah.
Notice this part. I'm skipping, but verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me the first 20 years of your life.
All
the days of your life. Notice what he says. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
Forever. Because David knew that his help came from the Lord. The valley that you're in. Oh, it's a valley. Yeah. You may be there for a long while. Because he's trying to teach you something. Trust me. We don't like the valley. But we need the valley.
Yeah.
It's where growth takes place. Literally. Let's just think. I'm trying to hurry. Give me 10 more minutes. Let's just think real quick, briefly. We love living on the Central Coast. Somebody say amen. But how about living in the valley? Anybody want to move to Bakersfield? Fresno? But that's where the food is grown. It takes a certain climate to grow tomatoes. It takes a certain climate to be able to grow a lot of that's why it's called the bread basket of the world, because there's a lot of stuff that we're limited in what can be grown here in Santa Maria, agricultural wise. But you go from Bakersfield to Stockton, pretty much anything and everything is growing on the side of the road. It's the same thing in the spirit. We love the mountaintop. We all want to live at the Central Coast where you got to turn the heater on sometimes in July here where we live. But oh God, help us if we walk through the valley. If we have a day of 85 degrees and we're dying. Can I tell you, it's the same thing in the spirit. God is saying, you know what? I got to take them somewhere and I got to purge some things out of them so they can grow. I got to prune some things out of them so they can remember that their help comes from me, because they're getting a little too prideful. They got too big of a swag. I got to lower them down a little. Can I tell you, that's what God wants us to remember this morning, that all of us stuff and all the things we've got, we got to remember, recognize that our help comes from the Lord. So we got to pray. We got to do what the scripture says. Pray without ceasing. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Yeah. You keep asking. You keep knocking. You keep seeking. And be relentless about it.
Yeah.
Fight for your salvation as the musicians come. John 14:13 says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You keep worshiping. You keep praising. You keep rejoicing.
Yeah.
1 Thessalonians tells us to rejoice evermore. It's what we do. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, they were in a bad situation. They were beaten. They were bruised. They were humiliated because they were Christians. Because they were Christians. When was the last time somebody beat and whipped you, kicked you around physically, and threw you in jail because you were a Christian? They didn't call an attorney. Scripture says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. It's beautiful. That's called faithfulness. It's called being steadfast. It is a reminder to all of us that our help comes from the Lord.
That's right.
Because God answered their prayers. Prison the doors were open, and they had a revival in the prison. Because somebody prayed and sang praises unto God when it would have been a little bit easier just to, oh, poor me, poor baby, oh, Silas. Oh. But they begin to pray, sing songs, and worship the Lord. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 139, 1 through 4, O Lord, thou hast searched me. This is a convicting Bible verse. And known me. You know my down sitting. You know my uprising. You understand my thoughts from afar. You compasseth my path. And notice this. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my mouth, Lord, that you don't know it all together. He's your help this morning.
Yeah.
We got to be open and honest today about us before Him. Because there's not a word in our tongue or even a thought in our mind that's afar off that He doesn't know about. He's acquainted with all your ways. Your personal life, your private life, and your secret life. Oh yeah. He's acquainted with all your ways. All your ways. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 142, it says, I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knewest my path. He's available 24/7. He's confidential. He's available. And this morning, He sent your pastor to remind you that He's your help. Everything you've ever had, everything you're going through right now, and whatever you will face in the future, He always has been your help. He wants to stay your help, and He'll be your help this morning. Haven't you heard? Don't you know? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the young people, the youthful will faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall as we stand this morning. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk, not faint. He's your help this morning.
Yeah.
Feel the presence of the Lord in this place, speaking and ministering to folks. You walked in here with lots of questions, confusions, frustrations, wearied, irritated, but He's your strength this morning.
Yeah.
Would you lift your hands right now? Let the Lord begin to minister to you right now. I won't, you know, that's not pastor style, but I could almost just go up to you and grab you by the hand and tell you this was for you. Just lift your hands this morning. He's your help 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 this morning. Come on, if he's helped you before, he can help you again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on. If you want to draw closer to God this morning, I invite you to come to the altar. If you need God's help and direction and clarity, I want you to come to the altar. If you need God to do a miracle in your life, I want you to come to the altar. Your help comes from Him. You may feel like you're surrounded by trouble and heartache and just mountains. Everywhere you look is just valleys. You may very well be surrounded this morning by trouble. But around that trouble is a God in heaven that's surrounding you. How you fight back is up to you. Come on, bring somebody with you. Tell them, will you come to the altar with me? I want to go pray, but will you come with me? Come on. Oh. Somebody say, this is how, this is how. This is how I fight my battles. How I fight my battles. Come on, help me say, this is how I fight my battles. Let's do that again. This is how I fight my battles. Come on, somebody. This is how I fight my battles. Stay right there. This is how.
This is how I fight my battles.
Somebody lift your voice and say,
this is how I fight my battles.
Come on, this is how.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles. Come on, this is how.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how, this is how.
This is how.
Worship's how. Praying is how.
This is how I fight.
Coming to church is how.
This is how. Come on. I fight my battles.
Asking God for forgiveness is how.
This is how I fight my battles.
There you go. This is how.
This is how I fight my battles.
Come on, give it to Him this morning.
This is how I fight my battles.
You may feel. Come on. You may feel. You may feel.